Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Want to tell the story of your small business? Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today, small business lessons from an owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers who's also an entrepreneur. That interview after this. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
This human resources professional is a rock star thanks to Kronos. And this is her hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train.
Have HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're engaging all the best people.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
The Pittsburgh Steelers did not become one of the NFL's most storied and successful franchises by chance. With business lessons from football operations and years as an entrepreneur, we're joined now by Jim Rooney, part of the Steelers' current ownership group and son of late owner Dan Rooney. Jim has a new book called A Different Way to Win, Dan Rooney's Story from the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule. Jim, tell us about it.
Absolutely, and I really appreciate the chance to talk to you, Gordon. So, you know, my father was involved in a whole host of activities that we thought were you know, fairly successful and effective. And I wanted to look at, you know, what were sort of the driving principles and qualities that made him effective. And I think what it really drilled down to was he did an excellent job at balancing that you know, core competency. You know, he was an effective leader and the type of boss we all want, with being a decent person, really sort of having that respect for the humanity, the dignity of everyone he came in contact with throughout his life. And he did that through, you know, what we talk about, playing the long game. You know, the Steelers have been very effective for the last 50 years. This year we've had some challenges, but if you look since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970, the Steelers have won more games than any other team. We've won as many Super Bowls. The Patriots caught up with us. But you know, we've won as many playoff games. So all of sort of the metrics that you look at for success in the football business, we've done that well in the modern era. And, you know, I think it came down to my father's approach at looking as far down the horizon, at bringing good people in and you know, sort of letting them do their job, but always being there with, is there alignment with the vision, with the, you know, the fundamentals of what we're trying to do. So you know, this idea of achieving success and treating people well was the foundation of success, and that's what we try to talk about in the book.
All right, so you opened the door to something there, which made me want to ask. You referenced the Patriots catching you with the number of Super Bowls, but you did it at a time when it was not a quarterback league, and you've also done it as a quarterback league. So as that relates to, say, finding the right personnel, you know, what was that like going through different eras of the NFL, for example?
Right. And it gets to one of the core themes of the book, which is, you know, how do you commit to diversity in an effective way? So my father's sort of, if you look at what people who know football would talk about, is that he's done this tremendous job in hiring. The Steelers have had three coaches in 50 years, Coach Knoll, Coach Cowher, and now Coach Tomlin. And, you know, it just sort of reeks of stability, if you will. In that, he's from 19, well, so we hired one of the first African-American scouts, a gentleman named Bill Nunn, and from 1969 to 1976, we drafted more players from the HBCUs than any other team. And so you had this commitment to what he would have called, excuse me, integration.
Yeah.
and this commitment to this long-term hiring process. So he was expanding the pool, and it was giving people time to develop further. And especially in the era of non-quarterbacks, you know, you brought in so many of these great players. They felt this sense that they could belong, that you had a system where they were able to compete, that there weren't sort of artificial obstacles in their way, and you built this great defensive team, you had these great receivers, and as I said, so many of these folks, John Stallworth, Donnie Shell, Mel Blount, you know, these guys are Hall of Famers,
yeah.
You know, came from pools of talent that no one else was looking at. So that became sort of the foundation of the first era. Now the rules have shifted so much towards offense, and the quarterback is obviously, I mean, quarterback's always been important, but mm-hmm. it's become more and more important with the shift towards offense. So you see, you know, our quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, you see Aaron Rodgers last night. Obviously, Tom Brady has just dominated the game since we've gone in that direction.
Yeah.
They're just different eras. I probably personally enjoyed the time when you know, it was 53 guys had more of an impact than one guy had so much. But
right.
This is the world we live in.
We're speaking with Jim Rooney. He's the son of Dan Rooney, part of the ownership group of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's got a new book out. It's called A Different Way to Win, Dan Rooney's Story from the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule. Now, I know you were one of nine kids, so I wonder then, given the nature of your father's status, did you ever think, yes, great manager, but Dad, I'd like to see it try this? Did you ever go at him with something like that?
Absolutely. I think that was part of our relationship. You know, I was the eighth of nine, so sort of you get into, you know, these family dynamics, and I don't even know that there's a name on the chart for the roles that I played, but
okay.
I certainly was a protagonist or sometimes an antagonist towards
right.
him. But, you know, my father, if you talk to the folks that again, you know, were part of the organization, they really enjoyed working for him because he was the type of boss you could go to and challenge him and give him a different point of view, but he also challenged you back. And, you know, he expected you to really have good ideas, to be expanding your own knowledge, your own, you know, information about the situation you're in. And that's what I think, you know, and I know people talk about these all the time, but it was such a good example of that type of leadership that people wanted to be part of it because they got to express themselves and really, you know, bring out their best. But they were also challenged, and they were
yeah.
challenged in a way that was constructive. He certainly did that at home as well.
So you're involved in a bunch of other things, too. One of the ones I read about, Rooney Consulting, right? You founded this First Link Research and Analytics. What are some of the lessons that, I don't know, you know, when you do guest speaking or whatever, that you relate to your audience about the smaller businesses like that?
Right. So I end up, you know, talking to a fair amount of small and mid-sized companies. And, you know, obviously we are somewhat still a family business. We have a lot of non-family members now as investors. But certainly my grandfather started the team in 1932.
Yeah.
And until 2008, it was, you know, closely held. With family members, and I end up speaking to groups like that, and I think that again, it gets back to that, you know, that fundamental basics of you need competency. You know, you need people who understand the X's and O's. You need people who are able to do their jobs, and you know, you have to interview for that. You have to challenge them. You have to commit to development, which one of our great coaches, Chuck Knoll, was always known as. Chuck won four Super Bowl championships and was, you know, considered such a great teacher. So he was always involved in, you know, professional development of his players, and we try to do that throughout the organization. But then you want people to want to be there. So to create these environments where people feel like, you know, their competence, their excellence is also valued, you know, that there's that humanity in the culture that you know, if you have a bad day today, you're not getting fired. You know, that you can come back tomorrow and you know, make up for a mistake you might have made today. Or
yeah.
if someone's sick in the situation, in the organization, that, you know, people are gonna pick up for someone that you know, Chuck Knoll always said, it's, you know, you want that 100%, but some days, you know, someone is hurting on the offensive line. well, you know, the other people are going to have to make up for that person. You're not always going to have the ability to plug and play someone of the same level of talent. You know, and so talking about those messages, how do you create environments where, you know, there is that sense that you know, you're competitive and you need to be competitive, but also that the culture values teamwork in a really essential way. So try to have conversations and give examples of you know, football gives you great examples of when teams work and when they don't work. So it becomes sort of an easy component to sort of demonstrate when things worked and when they didn't.
It strikes me though that you can't always just create that culture from, I don't know, having received lessons in a book. Some of it has to come from your own personality, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think you can learn a lot from information, but ultimately, I think in all leadership there is some cult of personality, you know, that people follow. You know, I always say the most important quality of leadership is followership. All the other things are great, but if people don't want to follow someone, yeah, whatever they read, whatever they learned is not necessarily going to affect the system. You know, there was certainly something my father and my grandfather had, certainly something the three coaches that we've talked about had. Joe Green, who many people know as Mean Joe Green, yeah, was, you know, part of our defensive line in the 70s, was probably the best on-field leader I ever saw. And, you know, his demand was as high as it could be. I mean, he hated to lose. He was tough on his teammates when they lost. He wasn't afraid to call someone out if he thought they were a distraction. But once you sort of pass that level of you know, that standard where you sort of made it into Joe's circle, Mel Blunt, who was another great player of ours, talks about this sense of brotherly love that he created, and it went so far beyond just sort of professional camaraderie. So being able to balance that, you know, is there you can learn some of those skills, but I also think there's a personality component to that you know, you want to have those people as part of your team and your organization.
Yeah. In all the different things you've had your hands in, do you ever have one decision you really regretted or one that you just thought looking back was kind of boneheaded?
For sure.
that you'd today? Like to share publicly anyway.
Right. You mean today or in 40 years? So, yeah, I got involved in something. It was actually really cool, and I think some of your audience might enjoy this. So I've done some investing in the tech sector and tried to work closely with some of these things. So right now you can look at, you know, online, sort of like a YouTube type of application where you can look at plays, you know, give me the first and 10 versus this defense, you know, and you can look at the video for that. Well, back in 93, I partnered with some professors out of Carnegie Mellon University, and we used some of the first, it was actually MPEG-2, that's how far back we went.
Wow.
With the compression algorithm,
right,
and looked at a system that would allow the entire NFL to share video as they did then with actual videotapes. And, you know, you had a database behind them, and you could call out these, you know, give me all third and tens versus a 3-4 defense in this situation. And so we tried to do this league-wide. Well, our competitor took a very simple application that Apple had already been doing with what is now iMovie, and they called the clips lockers, and they sold, you know, three coaches 1 year, five the next year. They got to, you know, 16 coaches, and you know, they beat me with a much inferior technology. I really tried to get into getting the best technology for the league, you know, together and something that would work on a distributed database, et cetera. And it was a great lesson in, look, the customer is the customer, and you can have brilliant, you know, you can have a brilliant solution, but if someone else, you know, takes the market, especially with the, you know, with the investment folks would have to make in this, that, you know, they were going to own the market space.
Yeah.
And I learned on that investment that, obviously you want to be smart, but sometimes being smart is getting the customer, not continuing to sort of oversolve the solution.
That's a good point.
There's
yeah.
a problem.
Yeah. You, a football guy got beat at his own game,
right?
Sort of,
absolutely,
right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
So,
very good.
Yep, but, That was a great learning experience.
If you look at the NFL, going back to that for a moment, and you look at the game today, is there something you'd change if, say, you were commissioner?
Well, the commissioner's a friend of mine, and he's been a great help on this book project. I don't want to give him too much of a hard time. But, yeah, I mean, I think everyone feels like, we could use a few less penalties. Look, we have to commit to keeping these guys safe, and I think that's something that Commissioner Goodell's legacy will show, that he has made football and really all sports safer, and that's really an essential thing. So I'm glad that we've done that, but we also have to keep the game entertaining. So somehow we have to find a way that, there's a few less penalties in all these games.
Right. Nobody wants to see the concussions too, obviously. I know I had Troy Aikman on the show several years ago, and he said, you want to stop the concussions, go back to the leather hats. I mean, yeah. I know that's not going to happen, but I don't know for sure, but I don't think rugby, for example, has the same problems that, say, the NFL does, right? Well, they don't wear helmets.
Well, they don't have quite the same, but rugby is in the Big Six. Football, soccer, rugby, and then there's I forget the three other sports that are high. But
okay.
There's a high rate of it, but rugby does a different type of tackling, and
yeah.
I think the NFL is trying to go in that direction, mm-hmm. where, you know, folks really have to understand. I think we're getting towards this where we're now a generation and a half in, where kids are being taught, hopefully at the high school level, that the helmet is strictly for protection, and
okay.
You're not using it as part of the tackle.
Yeah, we're speaking with Jim Rooney. The book is called A Different Way to Win, Dan Rooney's story from the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule. Do you ever get sick of football, by the way?
Only when we lose.
Yeah.
I watch football all weekend. I watch 10 college games.
Oh,
and
goodness.
a bunch of games. So I've always enjoyed football. I think it's the best sport to watch. I mean, all the net sports are fun, soccer, basketball, hockey, but they don't have the complexity. They don't have all of the different, we have offensive linemen, defensive linemen. We have really what comes down to seven different types of position types, and the strategy that you can do with that, I just think is much more complex and much more entertaining than any of the other sports.
Yeah, very good. I'll give you the last word. Anything else you want to drop in?
Well, no. It's the book is A Different Way to Win, Dan Rooney's story from the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule. It's available for pre-order at Amazon and Steelers.com. And on November 14th, you'll be able to get the book. A good story about a leader and a culture that I think balanced success with decency in a long has done it well.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Rooney. The book is called A Different Way to Win, Dan Rooney's Story from the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website this morning with GordonDeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Don't forget, by the way, you can share your small business story by sending me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.